Welcome to The Brainstorm, a podcast and video series from ARK Invest. Tune in every week as we react to the latest in innovation and reflect on how short-term news impacts our long-term views. To learn more, visit ARK-invest.com.
ARK Investment Management, LLC is an SEC-registered investment advisor. ARK and Public are unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to either firm marketing or selling the products or services of the other, and therefore ARK disclaims responsibility for any loss that may be incurred by Public's clients or customers. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK. An investor should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in the show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Brainstorm. We're on episode 63. We are down Sam, but we picked up Frank. He's been on the show plenty of times. Today, we are talking Meta Connect. Meta had a host of new products they launched, hardware and software. Frank, I'm going to kick it over to you because I think we really need to start on the software side and talking about the suite of products they have now with Llama. So maybe just give everyone an introduction to Llama, open source, close, and then we'll dive right in.
Yeah, sure. So I think at a high level, Meta is pursuing large language models or foundation models in a unique way compared to some of the other companies like OpenAI, Anthropic, or even Google. And that's because they're open sourcing their models. So they're making them publicly available for anybody to download and use. And they are really the first company in the open source world that has matched, in some ways, the frontier capability that OpenAI and Anthropic have been able to achieve. So they're not just open sourcing models and democratizing access, they're also doing it quite well. And part of that is because they have a lot of the inputs that you need to do a good foundation model, which are a lot of data, a lot of good AI research talent, and especially a lot of compute. So only a company as large as Meta really has access to that amount of compute. So they've been kind of iterating on these models. They're on Llama version 3.2 now is the most recent release, which the primary updates are two smaller models. So these are models small enough to fit on your smartphone. They're in size of 1 billion or 3 billion parameters and quite performant. So you're now seeing, you know, what would have been 3 years ago cutting edge AI capability that's shrunk down to be able to fit on your phone now, which is actually important for them as they look towards their new hardware products like their Meta glasses to put AI on device so you don't have to connect to the cloud. And then also important for those devices is what they're doing for their larger models. They released a 90 billion parameter model. Mm-hmm. This is mid-size, I would say, that is multimodal, which means it can take and reason with images as input. So Meta's Ray-Ban glasses have cameras. This is the technology that they're using to actually answer questions about the world around you that the glasses can see through the camera.
Yeah, and let's maybe shift to the camera because, or not the camera, the glasses, because I think, you know, we got new features for the glasses, but not a new pair of Meta Ray-Ban glasses, which is pretty interesting given, you know, typically we've seen tech companies want to release new hardware each and every year, you know, the Apple model of thinner, slighter, you know, smaller every single year. And now you have Meta releasing new innovation into the glasses, but keeping the exact same pair of glasses, no new hardware. What do you think about that? How do you think about, you know, the the innovation we're seeing, but not necessarily tied to the hardware component of these glasses they have in the market.
Yeah, I think they found a pretty stable form factor in glasses where it's just the right size to be able to fit a good amount of compute on the device, to fit a camera, to fit speakers. Like, I use them as AirPods replacements a lot of the time, which is pretty awesome. You don't even need AI for that. It's just a great feature. But they have, you know, that size, it looks more natural. Like, it looks not too far off from normal Ray-Bans, but you can also fit a lot of compute in it. And I think they're going to stick with that for a while. I'm sure, you know, at a point, a few years of improvement on the hardware side, and they'll, you know, make the cameras better and make the chip more capable so they can fit a better model on the device, just like you see in the smartphone market. But in the meantime, while they're waiting for that, they can do a lot just in the software, partially because of how capable AI is now, and just being able to make these models better. So they're adding real-time translation that I think is pretty cool. So
that was a cool demo.
Yeah. And this is like Google invented the Transformer architecture for translation. And then we found it was capable of doing all of these other things, but they're really built for translation. So you can, you know, be listening to somebody speak to you in Spanish and you hear English, and you know, somebody else wearing the headset could do the opposite. So they're releasing with those two languages to start, but we'll broaden out multilingual in the future.
Yeah. I think two tidbits I picked up from the presentation itself. One, you know, they're talking about these glasses, the Meta Ray-Ban glasses. There is another pair of glasses, Orion, that we'll get into, but the Meta Ray-Ban glasses as being, you know, really the first consumer hit product that Meta has probably had. And if you were to look at, you know, the whole area or space within AI hardware specific products, this is probably the only piece of hardware out there that you could say is successful. Everything else has come out. It's been mostly a flop. Like, we've played around with a lot of it. It's really just not capable or there yet. And I thought what was interesting, Zuckerberg actually said, you know, part of the reason why these glasses have taken off in the way they have is because they're glasses first, right? They're still a nice pair of Ray-Ban glasses. Regardless of if you use the AI features or the camera functionality, you have that, you know, form function of a pair of glasses. And, you know, obviously they're partnered with EssilorLuxottica, so that you're having, you know, a nice pair of glasses and then all of this capability on top of it. And I thought that was really interesting that he framed it in that light, because that's something we've actually said on the show. It's, you know, they went after this market because, you know, there's a lot of people in the world that wear glasses, sunglasses, or just, you know, actual glasses. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yep. And I can tell you, as somebody who's wearing glasses right now, like, just having prescription glasses on that, you know, their primary function is helping you read and see things, but then all of a sudden you remember that, like, oh, I don't need to add another device to have music or to answer a phone call or to take a picture, because I can now just answer a phone call with my Meta glasses and I don't need to have my AirPods in. So it's like, saves me a step from going to my pocket and pulling out my AirPods, and I don't need to pull up my phone to take a picture of something if my hands are busy. It, like, very naturally integrates into your life in a way that other things like the Rabbit, besides not doing a lot of what they promised, you have to really force yourself to try and integrate it. This is much more like natural. And then you can ask it, you know, AI assistant type questions that it's more general knowledge very good at as well.
And I think you're starting to see their playbook a bit in how they're approaching AI. And I think we've talked about it internally on this show. This is becoming a story of a new operating system. AI is the operating system for a new consumer hardware set, which I think is going to be a constellation of different hardware devices, a glasses, a watch. You know, you may still have your phone, but it does feel like the unlock we've gotten from AI. And that was really the other tidbit, is, you know, Zuckerberg himself said he, if you would have asked him 10 years ago, what would have came first, the capability we have with AI or like really crisp augmented reality holographics, he would have said, you know, the holographic AR science fiction stuff that we're still seeing. And, you know, they had some of it today, but he wouldn't have expected all these advancements in AI. So kind of interesting that, you know, someone who's on the forefront of both had it wrong, but they've obviously been able to pivot because they've been running kind of parallel bets in both spaces. So yeah, it's really interesting to see them approach this space. And, you know, they have, I think, a really clear idea and have communicated a really clear path of how they're going to integrate AI.
Yeah, definitely. And the operating system analogy is important too, because right now they're kind of hostage to Apple and Google with iOS and Android as operating systems that control what they can do as just being an app.
Yep.
But you now have this both higher level of abstraction in an AI-based assistant that you primarily interact with voice, but also an alternative hardware paradigm where you could potentially build your own ecosystem of devices around it. And even, you know, I've said a lot of the positive things about the current experience of the Meta glasses, but there are also some things that are annoying about it because of how Apple limits it.
Right.
Where I can't have it, you know, read text messages to me because Apple doesn't allow them to do that. And, you know, they can't schedule a calendar appointment because I use Google Calendar and Google doesn't allow them to do that. So these are integrations with existing services that they'll build out, but they can also build their own. Like, it seems like a small feature, but I'm excited to use it. They showed, after you park your car, just looking at your car with your glass and saying, hey, Meta, remember where I parked my car?
Yeah.
And it will take a picture and then it can recall that for you. And so that is something that I absolutely will use.
I do that now with my phone. Like when I go to the airport parking lot, I take a picture of what level and parking space.
So it's like, okay, now they already have a photos app with the Meta View app that supports the glasses. Now they have reminders and they like slowly will build in more of the day-to-day information that's useful to you as an AI assistant.
Yeah. I think we're moving towards that digital assistant that's just kind of omni-aware, always on and present. And the more data you give it, the more useful it becomes. But this does segment into the last piece of the presentation, which is codename Orion. It's a new pair of glasses that brings in that functionality around augmented reality in the traditional sense. I think what they've been working on is augmenting reality through AI. Now you have visual augmented reality through holographic lenses. And so I'll tee it up. I'll give kind of the background. You know, this is a 10-year plus project that Zuckerberg has been working on. And now they have a pair of glasses, not ready for consumer use yet. It's still going to be into developer hands, partly because very expensive to produce. I think it's $10,000 per unit. So not near anywhere, you know, consumer friendly in terms of cost, but they're working down those costs. And, you know, what we have here is waveguide technology. So being able to project through micro LEDs onto what you can think of as etched glasses. So they, you know, design etchings into the lenses themselves so that when you project the micro LED onto the lenses, you can show depth. And that's what gives it that augmented feel. So when you're standing in a room, you can see depth in the images that it's producing. And it also has obviously the AI tie-in, but coupled with the actual headset itself, which is a bit bulkier than you may, you know, think in a pair of sleek glasses, but, you know, working down, definitely better than Snap's lenses, I will say that. They have a wristband that is a neural interface. So it's actually picking up the electrical signals from your brain to your hand. So for when you're in maybe a tight or public space, not having to flail about with your hands, even though, you know, the camera can pick it up on the outside of the glasses, you can actually think. The example I've been giving is if you had a closed fist and you wanted to make a thumbs up and go like this, you actually don't have to raise your thumb. You just have to think about raising your thumb to give the thumbs up. And that wristband is able to intercept the electrical signal from your brain down to your hand and interpret that into the virtual world. So pretty interesting. The other component of the hardware kit that these glasses come with is a wireless compute puck. So they're offloading a lot of the compute onto a device that you need to stand near. And I think it also operates as a remote controller in some cases. But I think you and I have talked about it. If you look at that hardware kit, you have a wristband, a puck that's about the size of a phone, hint, hint, and then a pair of glasses. And I think if Meta is really wanting to get out from Apple and Google and their operating systems on the mobile side, they have a way to now back in, assuming these glasses take off, into the devices we're currently accustomed to, which is, you know, you could assume that the smartwatch could replace this exterior neural wristband, or you can embed that technology into a sleek watch. And then, you know, that compute device could easily be the excess compute that we carry around in our mobile phones. So maybe we see some additional hardware from Meta, not anytime soon. You know, I don't think this is a 1 or 2 year story. I think it's probably a 5-10 year story. But thoughts on that, because I just threw a lot out there, but it is pretty interesting to see how they're approaching this in the near term and then now, you know, longer term with this new device in Orion.
Yeah, I mean, I just react with one thing that I think is kind of interesting, because obviously there's a lot that we're so excited about. And they kind of demoed a really beefy glasses that have some really cool holographic capabilities and hand tracking and this next gen neural wristband. But it's too expensive and it's going to be probably many years until we get it. But still, the way they showed it off was like, oh, wow, they're making real progress. And it seems like Meta's kind of like in this space of like, they're doing so many things right. When if you think just like 3 years ago, they couldn't do anything right. The Meta Connect event was highlighting how people had legs in the metaverse. That was like the big feature. Yeah. It's like how far we've come in 3 years. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's a perfect, I mean, it is interesting to think about, because I don't know if it's like a marketing pivot that they've done, or they've just, you know, got in investors and, you know, people that are accustomed to what Meta has done in the past, used to how not, you know, or teed up to how they're approaching the future. And, you know, a lot of the drama around Meta during the time period you just mentioned was the increasing amount of CapEx that they were spending towards what they were labeling the metaverse. And, you know, they changed their ticker, they changed their name to, you know, align themselves with this new future that they were seeing. And now they've kind of pivoted that. And now they, you know, that blanket statement of metaverse now encompasses all of this AI, you know, progress. And so I think, you know, investors and everyone else following the story now is okay with the CapEx spend because they're able to justify it, right? You're seeing the AI suite of products being rolled out into their current product. So you can, you know, see AI in advertising, AI in content creation across Instagram, WhatsApp, and, you know, Facebook. And now you have this long-term story where, okay, the dollars, you know, the $40+ billion in CapEx they've spent over the last few years, you can start to see the payoff in productization.
Right. That's what I think it's, you know, Meta is more open and transparent than other companies, and they've been building in the public for like 10+ years on this project. So it's really seeing all of that investment that they've been heavily criticized for start to bear fruit. And, you know, Oculus has been, as an acquisition, you would have said, oh, they're not doing much with it. It's not a hit product yet, the VR devices, but it's that technology that helped to, you know, form the expertise to make the glasses. And they're also, you know, doing pretty well on the consumer VR.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
I know. They didn't even talk about it. They talked about it for maybe
they glossed
maybe
over
minutes,
that relative to what else was
presented. Still taking some shots at Apple.
Exactly.
But that's a difference that this is something that, like, Apple would never do, building in the open like this and just saying, hey, this is far out, but here's where we are. And people are genuinely excited about it. Whereas I'm almost thinking, like, should Apple have showed off the Vision Pro as here's a developer unit that we can make available to developers for $3,000 and it's going to be keep getting better, or even call it $5,000 or $10,000. You can buy it if you want to develop to it. And, you know, it's going to be better in three to five years, which it will be. But now it seems more like a flop and Meta's running circles around them than if they had used kind of this tactic. But it's just not how they do things.
Yeah, it's interesting. And there's so much we didn't actually talk about. So if anyone that's listening wants to hear more, I would definitely recommend watching the Meta Connect keynote, because there's so much more in there. You know, we didn't talk about Meta AI, which is their, you know, ChatGPT, Anthropic, Perplexity, chatbot competitor. And that's at a 500 million monthly active user install base, and I think 185 million on a weekly basis. So very strong numbers on the engagement side. Obviously, they're distributing to 3 billion plus family users. That's what they labeled all of their users across the different platforms they operate. But, you know, they are, I think, in my opinion, leading in terms of the mega tech companies when it comes to AI. And it may be just that they're very clear in their communication of how this is going to be incorporated versus some of these other companies that have touched on it. You're seeing Apple kind of fumble around with Apple Intelligence. You have the direction and strategy of these companies, but the execution and the productization isn't where I think Meta is. But maybe I'm, you know, too close to the story.
Well, and it's there's a consumer versus enterprise side too. But even, you know, I think ChatGPT is like people really like it from a business user perspective. And then Microsoft's implementation of it, like we have the Copilot beta and it pains me to try and use it. The execution is so important besides just getting the technology right.
Yeah. Anything else? I think we covered most of it.
Oh, well, one last thing, because I just think it's going to be wild to start seeing, is they showed the creator tools that they're using AI for.
Oh, yeah.
Where one simple with Reels is you can just instantly translate across languages with real-time dubbing of the video. So somebody who's a creator in the US can now distribute to a Spanish audience, and it will not just translate using, you know, the characteristics and intonation and inflection in your voice, but also rework your lips to look like you're speaking Spanish. So that's one. And then the second is, they've allowed creators, it's still early in this project, but to create their own versions of the AI, which is kind of like creating custom mm-hmm. GPTs, where it will learn from the way that you write DMs and the way that you write posts and help you respond to more inbound DMs or help market your products more. And they're turning that using their, what do they call the digital human product?
Codex.
That might be it. It might not be it. It sounds right. That's what they're using. Yeah. You can now basically FaceTime with your creator, and it will create a pretty lifelike looking version of them that responds, if you're a creator, like yourself to your audience.
Yeah. I think what they're doing for the creator space is, you know, the only way to think about it is there's probably never been another time in human history to have some level of influence and fame, because you can optimize your time and your brand in a way that was just simply not possible in the past. Like being able to dub content, those are, you know, whole agencies and companies that, you know, are doing that today for creators to optimize content. And now you're just going to be able to do that instantaneously. I mean, you know, it's hard to put into dollar figures what that means, but it's a massive unlock for creators.
Yeah. Maybe it's helpful to them in a way that it was so hard to define what the metaverse was 2 or 3 years ago, that now all of this kind of just, like, as we're talking about it, like FaceTiming with a digital version of creators, like, oh, kind of feels like the metaverse.
Yeah, I think that it, I mean, that's always been, you know, high level take. What is the metaverse? Real time 3D, you know, you're spending more time online. I think that's like the general shift is, you know, we're living digital lives and our digital personas are having more meaning in terms of all of what it means to be human. And, you know, that's partly scary, but also, you know, you can't fight the trend in a way, because this is what people seem to want.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah. I know. Scary times, but also, you know, a lot of interesting tech is coming out. So thank you everyone for listening to the show. We'll be back next week. Hopefully Sam will be around. He's at a conference right now, flying around in eVTOLs. So, all right. Thank you.